Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Please take your seats. I just want to talk about a story that is actually in the book of Mark. Most of you know the story. It's when Jesus feeds 4,000 people with 7 loaves. Now, we've heard the story so many times that it's almost losing its meaning. But to feed 4,000 people with just 7 loaves of bread, it's a mind-blowing miracle. I mean, those who experienced it that day thought, wow, I've never seen anything like this ever in my life. And even up to today, I read that story, I'm thinking, wow, this is mind-blowing. 4,000 people with 7 loaves. 7 loaves would not be enough for this row. Believe me. With Kamau sitting here, he would go for 4 alone. Plus, if you give him a cup of tea, he probably want 5. Well, there you go. Seriously. But then Jesus does this with 4,000 people. It's amazing. Let's go to Mark. Now, show you some Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. From verse 1. It says, during those days, another large crowd gathered. Another large crowd. That tells me before this crowd, there was probably a crowd before that, and a crowd before that, and a crowd before that. And I just wondered, why was that crowd there? Why was that crowd there? What was it that they wanted to see? Now, I believe that in everything you do, you've got to have a why behind whatever you do. You've got to have a why behind anything you do here in life. Because if you don't have a why, obstacles would come that you may not be able to overcome if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. Every decision you take in life will be tested. Every decision. And if you don't know why you're taking that decision, when obstacles come, when the tests come, you will probably fail. And any decision that you take that hasn't got a deep foundation would be shaken if the why behind it is wrong. So he says here, since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Now, I just want to say here, anywhere you see in the Bible, or most places where you see in the Bible where Jesus having compassion on people, there's always a corresponding action. Anywhere in the Bible you see Jesus having mercy, having pity, having compassion on people, there is always a corresponding action. And that's what, Marilyn, I think you and your team, you did an amazing job last Thursday going to that tower where people got burned and just going there to help them and just to be with them and just to support them. I mean, heaven is definitely applauding you. And that's something that Jesus would have done. Hallelujah. But it's funny, I was saying to somebody, assuming maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you had seen a flat in that tower and you thought, you know, I want to live in that flat. And God has said, you know what, I don't want you to go into that flat. You're probably thinking, God, why don't you want me to go? Because it's not every time that God will give you a reason for doing what he does. And you probably be thinking God is trying to stop you from living there. It's because 5 years or 10 years down the line, he knows the tragedy that is going to happen. And so he's trying to stop you from going there. But most people don't recognize that. And I think as time goes by, we really have to start taking Proverbs 3:5 very seriously. And I'm sure you know that. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, not some ways, all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth, and he will show you things that are yet to come. Now, you stand a better chance of knowing what is yet to come if you acknowledge the Spirit in everything you do, or if you acknowledge God in everything you do and in every decision you make. Can we go back to Mark chapter 8? Mark chapter 8. Next verse, please. Next verse says this. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, next verse. He says, if I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Now, not only had they come a long distance, they had been there almost 3 days. 3 days. And I wondered what kept them there for 3 days. Even when they are hungry, they didn't want to go back because they had a why. They were there. And that's why even when they were hungry, they didn't want to go back. And his disciples answered and said, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread? And this, they're speaking to Jesus, get enough bread to feed them. You are telling the bread of life that he's not enough to meet the needs of the people. And Jesus said, you know, you've got it all wrong. You're telling me, the bread of life, that I'm not enough. And that's why when you read further down, Jesus performed that miracle with just 7 loaves. And not only that, when they have enough to eat, there's so much more left. You know, let me say something, that God is not enough. He's just too much for you. Too much. He has the ability and the potential to provide for you in ways that you have no idea he can. He's way too much. He says, you are telling me that I'm not enough. And then he proves them wrong. Completely wrong. You know? But there is a why. Why he does that. And for me, the reason why I'm sharing this story is not so much the miracle God does, but it's why he does the miracle. Why he did it. Why he did it. Why did God do it? Because, listen, God could easily have stopped the people from getting hungry supernaturally. He could easily have done that. But he chooses to meet every single one of them at the point of their need. There's got to be a why you do what you do. I remember some time back, I invited a friend to church. I tried so many times to invite her to church, but she wouldn't. She wouldn't come. Eventually, she got around to come. The only problem is when she came, she was high. I mean, like, weed high. And everything that the pastor said that day was met with a giggle. I've been wanting to ask you, why do people giggle when they're high? All right, so I thought you knew everything. But she just giggles at everything that the pastor said. No, I'm not saying he smokes, but he knows everything, doesn't he? And then listen to this. She came twice and didn't come again. And I found out that because she was searching, and she thought what she was looking for, she couldn't find in the church. And so she didn't come again. And I remember one day, a few weeks later, I remember she gives me a call and she says, Godfrey, I'm going to see the soothsayer, you know, a palm reader. They look at your palm and then attempt to tell you your future or whatever. I didn't quite like the idea, but I couldn't stop it. So I said, well, you do whatever you have to do. So anyway, a few hours later, she calls me. Godfrey, you wouldn't believe this. I said, try me. And then she says, when I went to the palm reader, the first thing she says to me is, you have to go to church. That's what the palm reader said. I said, wow. Even agents of the devil know that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There's no other life anywhere else apart from the house of God. But the thing is, she didn't know why she came here. And that's why after 2 attempts, she went. Now, she thought she was going somewhere remote from God. She thought she was going somewhere far from God. Now, listen to this. Let's go back to verse 3. Watch this. If I send them home hungry, they'll collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. Next verse, please. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Now, how would you feel? How would you feel? If you spend everything, your life, your time, your money, following God, and then you end up in a remote place. And that's how those guys felt. They left everything they had to follow Jesus. And guess where they ended up? In a remote place. They didn't even have enough to eat. What to eat was even a problem. And I know people who have been there, where they think they've given their life, they've given their time, they've given their money, they've given everything they have. And yet say, God, see how I ended. See how I ended. But the truth is, if you follow that story to the end, you realize that that is really not how it ends. Because God makes a miracle that blows their mind. Listen, never put a full stop where God has put a comma. Because you are still work in progress. His time is not your time. Wait for his time, because in his time he makes all things beautiful. But at this point, most people give up. They give up. And they say, you know, I'm not doing church anymore. I've tried it, I've been there, I've got the t-shirt. God didn't help me, so I'm not doing it anymore. And they give everything up, and then they lose their miracle. And so after 2 attempts, you think, you know what, I've been twice. I don't see what God can do for me. Who is this dead man on the cross who can't even save me? And so she decides to go to a palm reader, and guess what? She's redirected back into church. We serve an amazing God. Amen. We serve an amazing God. But listen, if you know why you are doing what you are doing, despite the obstacles that come your way, you still stand firm. Now, 4,000 people, every single one of them got their needs met by God. Every single one of them. And let me say, it's not really about bread. God was trying to make a point that I have the ability to meet your need. It's not about bread at all. It's about his ability to meet your need. But my question, you know, these guys, the Bible says, they had come that far and waited that long to see that miracle. And my question to you this morning is, how far are you willing to go? And how long are you willing to wait just to see the supernatural power of God in your life? How far and how long? Most people give up too easily because they don't have a why. They are there. They don't have a why. These guys had a why. They were willing to sacrifice. Even when they were hungry, they were not willing to go back. They were waiting for God to touch their lives. And it reminds me of a story in the book of Luke about Zacchaeus. I don't know how many people know the story of Zacchaeus. The Bible says Jesus was going to Jerusalem and he had to go through Jericho. And it happens that in Jericho, there's this guy called Zacchaeus who had also heard about Jesus. And as Jesus was passing by, the Bible says he wanted to see Jesus. But because the crowd around Jesus was so huge, he didn't stand a chance because he was short. And he didn't stand a chance. And so he goes as far as climbing a tree and waits as long as he can on that tree till he sees Jesus passing. How far are you willing to go? And how long are you willing to wait? And the Bible says, as Jesus was passing by, he gets to that spot where Zacchaeus was on the tree. And he lifts up his head and he says, Zacchaeus, come down because today I am going to stay in your house. I am going to stay. God visited Zacchaeus that day. His life was never the same because he had a why he was climbing that tree. And as a result, he waited that long for Jesus to touch him. Guys, if you don't have a why, if you don't have a why, you need to ask yourself, why do you like this guy? Oh, well, he's tall, he's dark, he's handsome. That's good. But when all that goes, it means the love goes. Why do you like this woman? Have you seen her shape? What are you talking about? Well, when all that goes, what are you going to do? Sorry, I'm not looking at you because I'm just in your direction. But what do you do when that happens? Because when the why goes, everything you have goes. And by the way, talking about relationships, hallelujah, talking about relationships, it's not the length of time you've been, but it's the depth of the foundation that you build, you know? And so if the foundation is not there, then it's nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, you remember, what's his name? Blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. Can we go there, please, Gifty? Mark chapter 10. Let me show you this quickly. Blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10. From verse... Yeah. It says, when Jesus left the place and went into the region of Judea, across the Jordan... No, that's not it. Mark chapter 10, is it? Yeah, this is... NIV, yeah. When Jesus left the place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan, again, crowds of people came to him, as was his custom. He taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, no, I don't think this is it. Let me check my Bible. Mark chapter 10. Unless I've got it wrong. Bear with me, guys. Oh, yes, it's my fault. My apologies, Gifty. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Now you imagine this. It says a large crowd. Normally when the Bible says a large crowd, you're probably talking about 1,000 people. Now, how is it possible that in the midst of 1,000 people, you scream at the top of your voice? How is it possible for even Jesus to hear? There's so much chaos going on that even when you scream at the top of your voice, chances are that he can't even hear. And then he's screaming, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And not only that, he's having to contend with other people by his side saying, look, shut up, trying to isolate him from reaching Jesus. But then he doesn't stop because he had a why. He was shouting to God. And even when obstacles came, that wouldn't stop him. When people around him were saying, stop what you're doing, the harder they tried, the louder he shouted. Because he has a why. He was doing what he's doing. Do we have a why? I mean, why are you here this morning? Is it because you're on the road to do something? Is it because you are searching? It's because somebody invited you. Why are you here this morning? I mean, I'm not asking for an answer, but ask yourself this question. Why am I in this job? Why am I in this marriage? Why? 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 Because if the why is not there, if you don't understand the why, then everything else that follows is wrong. Everything else that follows is wrong. And so, next verse, please listen to this. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And what I find interesting is, with all the noise and all the chaos going on, somehow Jesus has the ability to pick up his holy voice. How is that possible? With all the noise going on, even just like Zacchaeus, with all the crowd, Jesus gets to the spot where he is and lifts up his head. And it's the same thing with this guy. How does Jesus even picks up his voice? And then it says, so they called to the blind man, "Cheer up on your feet. He is calling you." Next verse. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Now you think that that's a trick question, but it's not. Because believe me, Jesus knew very well that he wanted to be healed. But he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He just wanted to know the why behind why he was shouting his name. And because he knew the why he was shouting his name, not even the crowd could stop him from doing what he wanted to do. Guys, it's really important that we have a why to everything that we do. Because otherwise we'll be going around in circles and circles and circles and never be able to make up our mind. So this morning, I just want to encourage you that as I read this story, that was what I saw. And I saw that God is somebody who's always got our backs. He's always got us. As long as we don't give up, as long as we don't give up, he's always got our backs, no matter how bad the situation. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Even when Jesus said to him to come down and that he was going to his house, people were mad at Jesus for even deciding that. But Jesus doesn't work that way. He looks at the heart. He looks at the determination. He looks at the desire. And I believe that this friend of mine who went to see the palm reader had a desire really to see God. And that's why God redirected her back to church. But you need a why. Man judges on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And if you are deciding why, it should be from a pure heart, not from wrong motives. So my question again to you this morning is, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you here this morning? Maybe you're here for a miracle. Maybe you're here for a breakthrough. I don't know what it is. But God has the ability to touch you in a way that is mind-blowing. You don't feed 4,000 people with 7 loaves. That's impossible. Even up till now, it's impossible. Nobody has ever done that. Yeah, it happened in the Old Testament, but that was 20 loaves among 100 people. But it's 4,000, and that miracle has been repeated before. I want us to stand on our feet right now. And as you stand on your feet, I want you to think about the why you do what you do. The why. The why. The why you do what you do. Every decision you take in life will be tested. Every decision will be tested. And so if you don't have a strong why, that decision will be found wanting. I want you to examine yourself this morning, because I believe the presence of God is here right now, and is here to touch you at the point of your need. But how far are you willing to go, and how long are you willing to wait just to see the manifestation and his power in your life? Every single person here, I'm sure you have a desire that you are believing God to meet. Those 4,000 people, not even one single of them, not even one of them went back. All 4,000 waited because they knew what they were waiting for. And if 4,000 people can do that, there's only, I don't know, about 40 or 50 of us, we can wait and see the power and the glory of God. What is impossible to you is very possible to him. He specializes in impossibility. In fact, he thrives on our impossibilities. How dare you ask the bread of life if it's enough for the crowd? He's more than enough. Way more than enough for you. I want you to lift up your hands right now before him. Father, Just as you saw the need of every single one of those 4,000 people, I know you see the need of every single person here. Some needs are unspoken, others are. But Lord, you know it. You know the needs here. And Father, under the authority and power that you've given me, Father, I lift every need here before you, O God. Father, show yourself strong in their lives. Blow their minds with miracles, O God, that they've never seen before. There are some miracles that only God can do. But he doesn't do it unless he takes you to a remote place, because that's the only time he can do that. Many times we don't hear the voice of God because we are preoccupied with our own voices and the voices of other people that we miss the voice of God. And so he has to take us to a remote place where we can hear his voice. And this morning I really believe that he wants to change something in your life. He's doing something new this morning in your life. All 4,000 of them never went back the same way as they came. Because anytime God has compassion on you, that's a corresponding action. And not one of the 4,000 people went back the same way as they came. They were all touched at the point of their needs. And it's my prayer that this morning, nobody will return and go back the same way as they came. Because the bread of life himself is here. I thank you, God, for the word that you brought this morning. Father, let your hand and power manifest in the lives of your children. Father, let them come back next week with testimonies of what you are doing in their lives, God. For we serve a living God, Father. It's not just about words. You are a God of action, oh God. Show yourself strong in the lives of your children, God. Put the enemy to shame, oh God. Father, even if they take the wrong path, I pray that, Lord, you redirect their steps, oh God, into you. For you are the way, you are the life, you are the truth, oh God. There's no life any other way except the life you give, oh God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the power and the work, oh God, you are doing in your children. In the mighty name of Jesus.